Today on Real Life Radio.
God first, your marriage will succeed. You know why your marriage hasn't been working so good so far? It's because you've been first. It's all about you. It's what you want, what you're going to get out of this. And God says, wait. I invented it. I made you. I'll tell you how to do it. Put me first, and I'll take care of all that other stuff that you're trying to achieve on your own, by your own strength and by your own works. I will add to your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I also want to challenge you. Join me, will you, to share the love of God with everybody we meet at this time of the year. Now listen, the whole world is decorated in colors and in lights, and people are saying Merry Christmas. Let's take advantage of the reality. Let's take advantage of the truth. It's the recognition of the birth that God has sent His Son into the world. So we should tell people, hey friends, hey family, this is about Jesus, the Lord's Savior, mankind's redemption. Remind them that the baby that was born in Bethlehem is the man who died on the cross for our sins. So please, Merry Christmas to you, but let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's tell the world.
From Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Life, we want to wish you and your family a Christmas season filled with the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ. God bless you and yours today and in this new year to come. Merry Christmas. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled, Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. You know, nothing is more contrary to being a follower of Christ than divorce. But what can a Christian do to reconcile? Well, you see, it's never too late to save a marriage. There's no greater test of our obedience to Christ and the Bible than when a Christian is faced with the threat of divorce. Spiritually, a marriage is a union where two become one. You no longer belong only to yourself, but to God and to your spouse. So today, Pastor Jack reminds us how divorce can cause so much pain and heartache. Even though marriage is not designed to make you happy, it is designed to make you more like Jesus. If your marriage isn't working, maybe it's time to look at your own relationship with Christ. Now, with his message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord God, that you'd prepare our hearts for your word. Father, in a world that we look around and that there's so much, as Gia was just sharing a moment ago, there's so much in the world where things are coming unhinged. Global governments, global economies, people, marriages, life, young people. Who would have thought, Lord, that in this modern age, that even the mother's womb would be one of the most dangerous places on earth to reside? We live in a tremendous time, and we've lost our moorings as a people, as a nation, as a family, as perhaps tonight as a couple. And we pray, Lord God, as we look to this series, as we come now to this section, Father, of divorce, and God, we pray that you would move in our midst tonight, Lord, that this would be more than a Wednesday night service. It would be a life-changing encounter with you, Lord, the living God. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that thinks they know you, but in reality they don't. They may know your name, but they do not honor you in their conduct and actions. And Father, we pray for a great conviction of your Holy Spirit, like we were convicted a moment ago in this song we sang, "We will go to the ends of the earth." I really doubt that. I don't think there's more than a handful of people in this room that would actually do that. For those of us, Lord, who are not going, then I pray that we would be at least senders of those who would go. Very convicting, but Father, we pray right now that before we ever go to the ends of the earth, that we would see to it that this thing called marriage that you've engineered and designed, that we would obey you at your word and make marriage work. It is your desire. You love it. And as a culture and as a people, Father, perhaps we have shown you that we hate it, that we despise it, that we mock it. But Lord, it doesn't take away from its holy institution that you've designed. Tonight, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Grab your Bibles tonight then and turn to our theme verse, passage of scriptures that we've been going through for these many weeks now. I believe we're coming now to about the 15th week or so in this little series that we've embarked upon. But we're in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. And tonight's message is entitled, Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. Last time together, we looked at being a Christian regarding this topic of divorce. And now we're talking about being in the midst of a divorce. And you tonight might be here and you're saying, well, I'm not in the midst of a divorce. How does this apply to me? But according to the statistics in America, even among those who claim to be Christians, there's about a 50% chance that you're going to wake up someday and hear that news that your spouse wants a divorce, or you're going to come home from work and the house will be abandoned. It's a tragedy. It's an offense, not only to family, but obviously to God. Being a Christian in the midst of a divorce, and I understand that we've got about 45 minutes to cover this topic, and next Wednesday we'll be back in a different phase of this topic, but this is serious stuff we're talking about tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14 is our theme for life, the Bible and Life series in which we're in. For this reason, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Colossians, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, that is of their great faith in God, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. And I've asked you over and over again to circle that word, qualified us. It's in the past tense, both in the English and in the Greek. It means God has done it. He's done everything you and I need to succeed as believers. God's done it. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And he has delivered us, past tense again. He's already done it. We just need to walk in it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, past tense again. He's already done this. Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Last time together, church, we looked at five things that we're going to build upon tonight. But quickly, by way of review, last time we looked at being a Christian and avoiding divorce, and now we find ourselves in the midst of a divorce. But last time we looked at this, number one, we laid this challenge out to all of us to begin to practice and to do. And the first thing was this, to stop and to think about who you and I really are now that we're Christians, that there's no perfect person in your marriage. There is no perfect person. There cannot be a perfect person in a marriage. God will not allow that to be. Marriage is not designed to make you happy. Marriage is designed to make you holy. And I don't know what you signed up for. Oh, I signed up because I want to be the happiest girl in the world. Then listen, marriage is not the vehicle by which you are to be the happiest woman in the world. Oh, I signed up so I could be the happiest man in the world. Listen, then marriage is not for you. I'm not making fun of it. I'm not saying that you cannot be married and be happy. What I'm saying is marriage is designed by God to make you holy. It is to make you more like Jesus. It's more to design in your life what it is to really relate to God. It's easy to live single in some little monastery type of a world that you can create for your own self being single, because there's nobody to argue with but yourself. There's nobody to contend with but yourself. When you wake up is when you wake up. You don't. When you put your underwear away or you leave the toothpaste out on the counter, you have nobody else to blame but you. But you do those things because you like it, because after all, you did it. It's easy to live like that. But when two people come together, it is a God thing. Remember this, in Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Two married people coming together as one people. Guess what? There are two sinners bringing all their sin into one house. And you say, well, you're not encouraging me to get married. I do not want to encourage you to get married. If you think for a moment that it's going to be some perfect little rose-strewn path treat
It is an awesome thing. It is a glorious thing. It is a God-honoring thing. But listen, it is something that you need to stop and realize that regarding your marriage and why it's not working is because as two individuals who our lives constantly tortured by sin, as it were, even though we walk in the newness of life, it affects our marriages. Secondly, we ask you to remember that you no longer belong to yourself. As a Christian, you don't belong to yourself. As a human being, you were created by God. You don't belong to yourself. And certainly when you come into a marriage, you do not belong to yourself. Marriage is a type. It's a model of God's union with us. Marriages. Why do you think it's so difficult? Why do you think it's so challenging? It's because it is a model, it is a type of God's relationship with us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Number three, we looked at knowing. Know that you have all that you need to succeed. No matter what condition your marriage may be in tonight, God has given you, the believer, everything that you need to succeed and to be safe and to be accepted in a marriage. We just need to apply God's truth. We need to stop saying that we're Christians and zip the lip and do Christianity. We need to do it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, we looked at it last time, that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Don't raise your hand. Are you two Christians? At least do you say that you're Christians and you're married and your marriage is not working? Why? Are you not new creations? Don't say you are if you can't get along. Make it work. Well, Pastor, there's a lot of baggage. I know, that's why we're in part two of this message tonight. We'll talk about that. Marriage is where reality takes shape. Marriage is where the rubber meets the road. And God is for you. He's for your marriage. He wants it to work. And by the way, those of you who tonight have your arms folded and you're angry and you're grinding your teeth and you're saying, it's not going to work for me, let me tell you something about God. He loves that kind of challenge. He loves that stuff when you say, it's not going to work. He will make life so gloriously miserable for you until you fall down on your knees and say, God, help me. He's amazing. He loves marriage and he loves you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then understand. Number four was understanding. Understand what the will of God is for your life. Marriage is a supernatural, spiritual institution. No matter what people in California are trying to do to it, it will never change the fact that it is a supernatural, spiritual institution. The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, we'll hear more about this later, that we are to be submitting to one another in the fear or the reverence of God regarding marriage. This word submitting means to yield, to take second place to the other, to allow the other preeminence. That's what marriage is for. Listen, are you guys listening? Everybody with me? When you get married, you are saying, I yield to you, sweetie. And if you go into marriage with any other thought than that, you're going to have a bumpy ride. Marriage is saying, I'm going to rub your feet. I'm going to pick up your clothes. I'm going to wash your car. I'm going to walk your dog. I'm going to burp you and change your diaper if need be till death do you part. Please come, Lord Jesus. And then number five, last time we looked at obeying. Obeying by living your life for the Lord. You don't live your life for your spouse. What? Aren't we supposed to be faithful to our spouse? Of course. Aren't we supposed to live, you know, for them? Yes, of course. At best, secondary, God first. God first, your marriage will succeed. You know why your marriage hasn't been working so good so far? It's because you've been first. It's all about you. It's what you want, what you're going to get out of this. And God says, wait. I invented it. I made you. I'll tell you how to do it. Put me first, and I'll take care of all that other stuff that you're trying to achieve on your own, by your own strength and by your own works. I will add to your life. And Matthew 6:33, don't look at the screens, it's coming to my head right now. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. Put God first. Absolutely vitally important. And so as we think about divorce and the dangers of it and what it does, It's been said that divorce is spiritual dissection of two people who have already come together. God says marriage is a bonding of two people. Listen to this. In the New Living Translation, I don't usually quote that, but this is very powerful. In Malachi 2:16, God says, I hate divorce. The God of Israel. It is as cruel as putting on a victim's bloodstained coat, saith the Lord God Almighty. So safeguard yourself. Always remain loyal to your wife. Malachi 2:16 says, God hates divorce. So listen, as we get into the study tonight, remember this, God hates divorce. He hates it. You want to know why he hates it? For a thousand reasons. But one of the reasons why he hates it is because it ruined your life. You say, Pastor, no, it's going to make my life better. Believe me. Interesting, people who have gone through divorces don't report that on questionnaires. They don't report that in polls taken. Being a Christian in the midst of a divorce, listen carefully. And I'm sure by the end of this message tonight, there'll be those of you who will never want to come back here again. And I want you to know it's not going to be because of me. I want you to listen carefully. What is God's heart regarding marriage? You ought to write that down. Not your heart, not your kid's heart, not your parents' heart. What is God's heart on marriage? What is God's heart on divorce? Mark chapter 10, verse 2. Why? It's our first point tonight. Seek every biblical directive first. Friends, will you jot that down? Seek every biblical directive first. What is God saying about marriage and divorce? Don't ask Phil, Dr. Phil, don't ask Oprah, don't ask whoever. What does God say about it? He invented it. Check it out. Mark chapter 10, verse 2. The Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? They did this testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorcement and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, listen to this, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's an awesome statement. God says, I will take out the man who separates what I've brought together. And in the house, his disciples came to him later and asked him of that same matter. And so he said to them, whoever divorces his wife, and by the way, it goes either way, divorces his wife or divorces her husband, and marries another, commits adultery against her or against him. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. The very word in the Greek, when Jesus said that, he's announcing that if you leave your husband or your wife for someone else, you are not only committing adultery, but you have sent her or him to the arms in a situation that God does not honor. And he says, Jesus says, you're causing them to commit adultery. What's the penalty? If you drive your husband or your wife away into the arms of another, and you by divorcing them, Jesus says, the person who's responsible for that bears the brunt, bears the judgment of a snowballing effect, as it were, of adultery. God loves marriage. The Pharisees said, you know what? In fact, two different schools of Pharisaical teaching, rabbinical teaching was, you know what? We can divorce our wives. Literally, one rabbi taught, Hillel, taught that if she burned your eggs, this is really in writing, if she burnt your eggs, you could divorce her. All you had to do is say it three times. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And then Rabbi Shammai, he said, no, it's for sexual immorality regarding fornication, adultery only. It appears that Jesus, who is God in flesh, knows his own word from Genesis to Revelation, announces that it is regarding sexual immorality. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but understand this. The first thing you should do regarding divorce and marriage is to seek biblical directive always. Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery in that context. Matthew 19, verses 3 to 6. And the Pharisees also came to Jesus testing him, just like Mark chapter 10. And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female for this reason? And he quotes it again. A man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall be joined to, and he shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Repeated in Matthew's gospel. Go to the word of God. Why? Because God loves you and he's given you instruction for your life. See, you and I get deceived by our emotions and by our culture to think, well, I'll just do away with this wife or with this husband and I'll just move on. And God says, no, you're going to ruin your life. What are the grounds for divorce? According to the Bible, adultery. It's been translated also sexual immorality, infidelity. In a long list of sinful choices, it's found the act of adultery in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If I'm going too fast to write them down, but it'd be great if you could turn there, you might want to write things down. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't talk yourself into something else. Neither shall fornicators, you guys know what fornicators are. Fornicators are two single people having sex. God says, if that's your lifestyle, you're not going. Nor idolaters, people who worship at altars of things, where they find their existence and meaning in things. God says, you're out. Nor adulterers. He goes on, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to verse 11, it's awesome. And such were some of you. Oh, that big list you just heard? Listen, have you been a fornicator, an adulterer, a homosexual, a sodomite, a thief, a covetous person, a drunkard, a reviler, an extortioner, or extortionist? Listen to this. He says, and such were some of you guys. Such were some of you Corinthians. Listen, it's beautiful. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You can be washed. You can be made new. So I want you to keep that in mind tonight as we march through this, that no matter what your past is, you might be thinking, oh my goodness, with what I just heard read there from the Bible, I'm in trouble. Well, let me ask you something. Is that the life you're living now? Have you repented of your past? Have you asked God, Lord, forgive me? I was wrong. Maybe you weren't a Christian and you've come to Christ. Those things are wiped away and such were some of you. Isn't that beautiful? You can start all over.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word to the everyday challenges in the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, if you're struggling in your marriage, or maybe you're getting ready to tie the knot and want some practical spiritual advice, check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Once you're there, look for the interviews I did with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa. It's called Real Marriage, Real Life. We talk about some pretty important subjects like dealing with our families in marriage and dealing with forgiveness in marriage. Jack and Lisa talk about the ways they put God first in every situation, especially in handling sensitive issues. Again, the series is called Real Marriage, Real Life. And it's on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can access his channel on YouTube or at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Pastor Jack came across a friend the other day and witnessing a little bit to him and asked me straight out, well, have you ever read the whole Bible? Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Very few people can say that, sadly, by the way. Isn't that true? Very few Christians can say that.
But we have a solution.
We've got a solution. And that is the reading through of the entire Bible. Every year we do it here at the church. Yep. We do it in the real life audience. We have honestly sold tens of thousands of copies of the one-year Bible, and it puts us all on the same page, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Every day. Mm-hmm. And it has been remarkable. So we've been doing this for decades as a church, now the real life audience and beyond. Absolutely, yes. Get a copy for yourself. It's incredible. I guarantee you, you will read the Bible for the first time, perhaps, all the way through in 1 year.
Hey, Pastor Jack, have you read the whole Bible?
Yes.
Okay, so I miss a day in the midst of reading the one-year Bible. What do I do?
How could you, Davey? Oh, my goodness. And that's, sorry, but that's exactly my point. Yeah. Listen, everybody, check this out. You may not hear this from anybody else, but it's something I've painfully learned over the years. When you get a devotion, you get sick, you're on an airplane, you miss it, you forgot it, whatever, you woke up too late. Listen, don't go back and try to catch up, because I've learned over 40 years plus of being a Christian, you never wind up catching up.
Yeah.
Here's what we're asking you to do with the one-year Bible. Dive into the very day that we are all in. If you miss a day or two or three or even a week because you've been sick or whatever, don't catch up. Dive in where we're at. Keep on the same page that we are all on.
Yeah.
Let's be one in the Spirit. It's thrilling.
That's the one-year Bible, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.